Hey, welcome back to Deeper Than Dough. Today, I'm sitting down with Stormy Banks, a certified grant writer, entrepreneur, and the powerhouse behind Pink Print Firm. Stormy has helped small businesses and startups secure over $18 million in grants, transforming countless lives and businesses along the way. In this episode, we dive into her incredible journey from running a mobile hair salon to becoming a trusted advisor for entrepreneurs looking to scale. Stormy shares why grants are essential for business growth, how to navigate the complex grant process, and the role education and identity play in entrepreneurship. Whether you're a business owner looking for funding or just curious on how to create a positive company culture while growing personally, you're going to love this conversation. As always, if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Super excited to have Stormy Banks on the show. Stormy, welcome.
Hey, Bennett, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Stormy, I'd love to learn a little bit more about you and your background. Just learned that you were in Utah recently, and we have a mutual connection in the first 1 minute of connecting. So small world. But yeah, Stormy, give me your background.
Totally. So as of now, I'm a certified grant writer. I've been an entrepreneur for the last 10 years. So this is pretty normal to me. It feels crazy to not have a schedule or everyday schedule, but I've never clocked a job. And entrepreneurship has always been pretty close and near and dear to my heart. And so what we're doing now is kind of working with small business owners and helping them gain access to grants, because I really believe in like having debt-free money to get started with your business. And background for me is no college education, been a hustler, been a grinder, really felt like, you know, believing in myself and betting on myself was the best way to go. And it's worked out. Sometimes it didn't, but as of today, it's working out really well.
Awesome. A certified grant writer. I don't know if I've met a certified grant writer, but we got two grants that saved my business earlier this year for $750,000 a piece. And I was like, okay, what? And the way that we got it was going through like a lobbyist grant, you know, that they, hey, you tell me the business and we'll go identify those things. It wasn't even me like going out and looking. And to have that money come in a small business during a rapid growth stage, I mean, that's life and death. So that's my plug for looking into grants, because there's just money out there that the government is wanting to spend to stimulate the economy, and they'll spend it on you if you do it right. So how did you get into that?
Similarly to how you're saying, I was in a business previously prior to COVID, and it was a mobile hair salon in New York. And we were kind of in this growth stage where we were like looking at scaling. And so I'm like, okay, let's figure out some ways that we can get some capital. But when you don't have all of the traditional things that you may need to be able to access that capital, you have to get kind of, you know, creative on how you're going to access it. So I kind of deep dived into a rabbit hole and found grants just organically. And then I was like, oh, this is incredible. I applied to a couple grants and ended up winning a few, got a $50,000 grant. And I was like, oh, this is real. This is money in the bank. And so from there, I was hooked, right? But what happened was after COVID hit, that business shut down. And so I saw all these people online teaching, doing all these different things. I'm like, okay, well, let me teach people about how to get grants, because now we're in this time where more people need the money. And so that's kind of how it came about. And just organically teaching and educating, people were like, well, can you do this for us? And I was like, I can, actually. I actually can. And that's how we birthed the business.
Start on the education on grants, though, because a lot of times, like, even as I'm saying that we got money and I'm like, this seems like a scam, you know what I mean? But it's not. Like, the government needs to spend the money in order to stimulate the economy. I don't know if their math is right, but somewhere, sometime said, if we put this much money into this sector of business, we're going to create this many jobs, and then our tax revenues are going to offset that. So it's like, it's a business, and you just need it. I think a lot of it is like, is it real or not? And it's completely real. Is that all accurate, what I'm saying? Or is there any other education we need on why are these grants even available?
Yeah, for sure. People think that it's not possible all the time, because a lot of people think that only nonprofits can get grants, but you can be a for-profit business and for sure get grant monies. Now, you do have a source from, you know, your local government who's looking to stimulate the economy. They have these huge budgets and they're like, we need to get this dough out of here if we want to reapply, because they get granted the money as well, right? And so you also have corporations who are giving out grant opportunities, like Venmo just had a grant and Verizon has a grant open right now that are a little bit easier to entry. Like, you can apply for them pretty easily on your own and get started with like $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 grants. and then kind of start going into those larger grant amounts when you are ready to hire, you have that capital sitting back and behind. But it could be for tax purposes that they're sending the money out. It could be for boosting the economy, or it could be that they just have a very direct program wanting to support a specific industry or a race in business at that time.
Thank you for all of that. So who's qualifying for these grants? Our grant was like an equipment automation grant for making cookies, you know, but it's like for whatever reason, it came from the state of Utah. They want to promote food manufacturing. So they threw out this grant. But what types of businesses, what size of businesses are qualifying for these grants?
Yeah. On the larger level, of course, there's businesses that are doing like million plus in business already, and they already have manufacturing, they already have staffing available, and there's like some pretty hefty grants that are available, especially for workforce development. Those are like some of the really big grants that we go for often. And then also you have grants for startups, like just getting started. All they have is a website and a social media account, and they can get like these smaller micro grants that are out there, like $2,000 to $10,000. But for a new business owner, that could really be a huge catalyst. Get started. So it really is a huge, vast playing field when it comes to grants, which is what I love so much, is that anyone can get started really at any point, as long as you are registered business. I don't tell people to start applying before they have the business actually registered and thought through of the idea and the mission, because then you're not going to be competitive. But if you have that stuff already laid out, start going for grants.
Yeah, there's so many available. The issue is it's complicated as far as like, is it the county, or is it the city, or is it the state, or is this a federal grant? And how do I stand out when there's a million people applying for the same grant? And I'm assuming that's where you're coming in, right? And saying, I'm helping navigate that crazy landscape. Walk me through. I have a business. I'm coming to you right now, Stormy. Are there grants available? Like, how does that process? What's the support like from your end?
Yeah, we totally get that. Business owners are wearing 50,000 other hats already. The last thing you want to do is be applying to grants all day and going through that process. Is the language is different, right? As if you were reading like a document from a lawyer, you don't know what this language means. They're talking in grant terms. So our process is supporting you on navigating the grant landscape from end to end. Like, we're going to help you write the actual proposal, find the grant opportunities, and apply to them on your behalf. So essentially, you just have to provide us the documentation, read over what we've wrote, make sure that it feels aligned to where your mission is going and where your vision is at. And then from there, we submit everything on your behalf. So from my point of view, it becomes this really hands-off experience where you can learn the grant process in terms of how is this all working and behind the scenes, but you don't have to do the actual work. So that's really where Pinkprint comes in, with the strategies and techniques from certified grant writers.
It's awesome. Because it's the opportunity to change your business with grant money is enormous, and then you have to find it, but you're not the only business that found it. So you are competing with your story versus another story. And that's where the actual, I guess, copy of the grant application really comes into play.
100%. I mean, if you look at if you just think in business terms, because I think of grants like sales. If you just think of in business terms, like if someone is your competitor and your customer is going to both websites to kind of see who they want to go with first, how you're talking to them and speaking to them is going to play a huge part in who they resonate with to be able to decide who they want to, you know, end up deciding to purchase with. So it's really just figuring out what language do they want to see and aligning with the grantors to make sure that you become the obvious choice.
You mentioned before as well, like, don't start until you have a business entity set up, an idea. But to me, that's like, well, that's still nothing. Can you really start that early?
Yeah, for sure. So actually, once we got our certifications through our whole team, we have these ethics and morals that we have to stand to. And it's actually not feasible for us to be able to take a commission base. Like, federal grants will deny it if you take like a 10% or 20% on commission. So we do have a flat upfront fee that we charge for the process and the writing and the research and the time that it takes.
Yeah. Appreciate you sharing that, Stormy. So before, you talked about college, and when you said it, you're like, no college. You said it with a smile on your face, and then it was followed by hustler, grinder, you know. When did you make the decision not to go to college?
That was in my sophomore year of high school because they had a cosmetology program where you could go to like a trade program in school and could skip school for like the last 4 hours. And I was like, sign me up. And so I ended up saying, you know, I was going to get my cosmetology license, and it worked out because I ended up opening up a salon like, you know, shortly after school. So that's kind of how the college thing went. And my mom was like, yeah, find your own funky path, do your thing, live your life. And I was like, okay, cool.
Okay. That was my next question, was there support or resistance? Because a lot of times there's big resistance, but it sounds like it wasn't for you.
No, my mom is a college dean. She has been my whole life, and she's worked with like early childhood education too. So her main thing is being educated. You don't have to go to higher education to get educated. You could read tons of books. You could watch tons of podcasts. You can do a lot of research. And that's kind of my way and method that I like to learn. I learn more on a solo basis anyway. So I'm very educated, but I just didn't go to school to be the educated that I am.
Love that. I dropped out. And when I did, I viewed it the exact same way. It was like, I really value education. And the way to kind of go extreme on it, I was like, okay, I'm going to med school. This is how much money it's going to cost. This is how many years it's going to take. Can I spend roughly the same amount of money and time becoming a professional salesperson? Because that's what I was subbing it out for. But on the education piece, you know. And then I started paying for coaches and programs, and it definitely had a huge payback. Would you recommend that your kids go to college?
I'm going to take the same approach as my mom did. It's just like, depending on what you want to do, we just have to take the steps and the avenues to get there. But one thing that's funny is you're going to pay regardless. Like, I'm not in student loan debt, but I've definitely paid six figures plus on my education. So you're still going to pay regardless, or you're going to pay in your mistakes. So definitely seeking out the help is definitely a good move for sure.
You're going to pay regardless, paying your mistakes. I like that. Shifting gears a little bit, if we fast forward 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever you want, what does success look like to you?
So we have this huge goal right now to sell. We actually want to get acquired in the next 3 to 5. That's like our plan of where we're headed to. So this year, 2025, we are franchising the Pink Print methodology, and we're going to be hoping that that opens us up to, you know, boost up our baseline revenues and then be able to be acquired in the next few years here. So if that all works out how I'm hoping it does, I'll be on somebody's beach thinking of a new business to start.
That's the follow-up question. On a beach, and then what would you be doing? So, okay, now let's fast forward. You franchised it, and we're going to talk about franchising because I love franchising. You franchise it, you sold it, there's a big exit. Now you're on the beach. What are you doing with your life when money's no longer a factor?
Definitely tons of family time. I want to become like a karate instructor at some point. Like, I just have all these ins and odd things that I'm interested in that I haven't been able to do. I want to go to Italy and live there for a year, take some architecture classes and courses, like just really learn tons of stuff that you never would have thought somebody would know, and just kind of deep dive into all these different things that are in my brain. That's kind of what I'm doing. It's probably just a lot of learning and experiencing.
That. What do you think is preventing you from the Italy and the karate and all of these things now? Is it more time or more money?
It's time. I have a building out my team, and you know, people really lied to me. They're like, when you hit your six figures, your seven figures, your eight figures, you're going to be chilling. You're going to be just doing this. I'm like, I've traded one job for another every step of the way, right? I may not be doing the day-to-day operations work, but now I'm leading a team. I'm building a team. I'm building people. And that takes just as much amount of time as the day-to-day operations.
That's exactly what I've seen. It's, you know, as soon as we, And in the franchising, is as soon as I file my franchise documents, everything's going to be so easy. And then it was, no, as soon as I sell my first franchise, and then it was as soon as I open my first franchise, and then I sell my first 100 and 200 and 450 units open. And it's just like every single time your brain just puts the goalpost down the road, and you're just like, stop doing that. This is a never ending chase. So are there things that you can be doing differently now to incorporate those things rather than waiting for the retirement? And this is kind of where the mind's coming from. We sacrifice our time now to then have the time later, but can we just have the time now and be a karate instructor? I'll take your classes.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? I think I made, like, 2 years ago, I was like, I'm not going to make any more New Year's resolutions of, like, things I want to get done. I'm just going to do, like, New Year's focuses. Like, here's where my energy is going this year on health, on wealth, on work, on whatever the case may be that I'm looking for. And I just haven't put the focus in those places. And so that's my own, you know, that's my own fault. I haven't put the focus there. So maybe this new year, I'll be like, the focus is karate instructing, you know?
Wouldn't that be cool though? Like, you really could be a karate instructor in January with probably 3 hours a week.
No, seriously, I really could. I
just started jiu-jitsu like 2 weeks ago. My thumb's jammed, but the same thing, because it's like, what would I do if I had all the money in the world? You know, I'm like, I'd probably do jiu-jitsu again. And I'm like, oh, I could actually do it today. Yeah. No, but it's the delayed gratification. A lot of times, I don't know, at least how I was raised, a lot of it is like, no, you have to pay your dues in order to get the reward. And I think that that's very ingrained in Western society, where in Eastern society, it's really not. There's nothing in Eastern religions or philosophies, Buddhism, or that you have to do to earn the reward. What are your thoughts on that?
No, that's definitely deep. I definitely have been raised in the sense that, you know, there's things you have to do before you can get something. Like, you know, you got to do the work before you can get the reward, for sure, 100%. But there's something that I like about that too, because it also builds a lot of character. Like, I've built so much character in the processes of, like, doing the work. And then when I get the reward, I'm able to say, like, oh, it's not only that I get what I wanted, but I also have become this whole new person. Yeah. And I've really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's really focusing on who you're becoming in the moment, rather than having to look back and like, okay, that was good because it made me into the person I am now. But if you could do that during the moment as well, you're like, crap, life's hard, but it's about who I'm becoming. So anyways, love that answer. Can you take us through one of the harder moments of your life, whether it's business or family relationship, on the emotional side? And then the follow-up questions are going to be applicable advice on how to get through those ruts.
Yeah, I think I can honestly say the hardest time in my life was like when COVID was hitting, New York shut down all non-essential workers. And so my whole salon was done, right? And I was like, oh crap, now what? What am I gonna do? And I had to move back to my mother's house to make sure that I could save on money. And I, you know, so I didn't have these rent payments building up. But what really happened that I didn't realize until later on is I had to shift my identity. So I had to have this identity shift that happened. And I thought my whole life I was a hairstylist. I thought I was a hairstylist and an entrepreneur. And so when I had to become this business owner of a grant writing firm, it was so hard to let that go. And that was the hardest thing that I have ever been through, is grieving the person that I built up for so long, letting it go to become someone better that I have actually enjoyed more.
That's awesome. And that is extremely difficult. How in the hell did you do it? And what advice do you have?
A lot of wine, Bennett. Look, I'm going to tell you, a lot of nights, music, and just laying around, just like a lot of space. I needed time to think, and that was really beneficial. I just had time to think and go through the process and enjoy it, like we talked about earlier. I would say tactical, tangible advice is I was journaling a ton during that time. And so day to day, I would see new experiences. I would see new growth. I would see new development in my thought processing. And then also just visualizing. I was literally being like, okay, if I'm no longer that person, who is it then? And I went to therapy, and my therapist said something one day that just literally like triggered me. And she was like, well, you're not that person anymore, but the good thing is now you can become whoever you want. And I was like, oh, I get to make up a character? Great, let's do it. And then I just made up a character and was like, this is who I'm going to be every single day. This is how I'm going to dress, walk, talk, relationships I want, money I want to make, things I want to do. And I've just been that person ever since.
Would you ever made that connection of like, oh, I could be whoever the hell I want to be if you weren't in therapy?
Probably not. Yeah. I really thought that you, like we talked about earlier, you had to work towards something your whole life, right? America has sold us on working the 40 plus years, retiring, and living a good life. That was the American dream for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. So she was like, you could be whoever. And I was like, for real? Are you kidding? And I was like, okay, cool. Let's rock out.
And it's, and you put yourself in a position to one, be vulnerable to tell people what you're going through and like, hey, I'm having struggles with XYZ, you know, I'm, what the hell is my identity? And seeking professional help. Anyways, I'm a very big fan of therapy for everybody, but particular with business. Like my therapy sessions are just business strategy, but it's not how much money I'm going to make. It's how that's going to affect my emotional well-being, which is life, you know? So it's really cool to still get to talk business strategy, but in the frame of, am I getting what I actually want out of life rather than just the shortcut, the money, without actually thinking it through?
I love that because I'm really big on capacity these days. And a lot of people don't consider what taking on certain things really mean, right? Like the opportunity cost, like there's a cost to it beyond the money, like your time or your well-being or your mental health or your emotional stability. And I think that's so good that you're prioritizing that. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the identity crisis. I sold a company and I had achieved what I wanted to achieve. And then I realized, oh crap, like this isn't what I thought it was. You know, my life isn't perfect just because I have more money. And then seeing the therapist, which was 3 years ago, looking back at like, what are we after in life? We're after a bunch of things, a bunch of material things to get us to feel a certain way. But we're after an emotional state. Right? That's what we want as human. Everything we do drives like, I want to feel this way. But yet we don't go see the people who are professionals at helping you achieve that, right? So that's how I view it. I'm like, there's no reason you shouldn't see a therapist if you can afford it, if you have insurance, right? Because it's a professional on how to achieve an emotional state that you're after. So there's my plug for therapy. I give a lot of them because it's pretty life-changing. Your answer as well, I wanted to draw the wine, the taking time to yourself. And in my mind, I interpret that like just pay attention to yourself, right? If you're just hustling and working all the time, how do you know what your needs are? You know, and then it's so easy because your brain's just always going, I'm a hairstylist. I own a salon. And then that's like who you are because you're not doing anything else. You're not giving yourself that space. So I really like that. How do you avoid, I guess, falling into the same thing? Now you don't want to be identified as the certified grant writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it goes back to trying all the different things that I wanted to do, right? I think you have to, like you said, pay attention to your needs. And so I'm actually a really creative person. Like I love drawing, I love writing, I love art, like I love that stuff. So I have to literally do that. On my window back here, there's like a, I don't know what they're called, but where you color on the, you know, color in the, what is it called? I'm not sure what they're called, but it's a coloring board. And I use stuff like that to kind of keep myself open and free of any identities. And I'll present myself as the certified grant writer when I'm like, you know, talking about my company and the things that the company does. But on my everyday basis, I'm like, I'm just Stormy, a regular everyday girl. Like I'm just going through life, seeing what opportunities present themselves and taking the ones that feel most resonating with my spirit and my soul and my goals.
Like that. So it's the break free from the old identity and be careful to not have, I mean, you don't even need a new identity, right? You're Stormy, a normal girl. I love that. Because then it's like, oh crap, what am I going to do next? And what are people going to know me by? But if you do that, that's external. And if you're basing off external, then good luck. You're always going to have to find something where your answer came from the internal. So love that. What's been one of your most proud accomplishments?
Proud accomplishments? I would say professionally, it's really been, we got a client $1.5 million for their business, and they're just killing it now. Like, they're killing it. And they were in like early phases of revenue. And so they weren't like making seven figures. They were at like five figures still. And now they're like doing eight figures and they're crushing it. They have multiple locations. That was like a hoorah. Cause we worked, like you said, your grant was like a long drawn process. We were in the weeds with that grant, and to see it come out and to see them so happy and just doing great things to build their legacy. Like that's something I'm like, yes, we did that.
Love that. That's awesome. I imagine that's what helps you work the longer hours when you need to. Oh, like going back and like, oh, I could continue to feel that every time I help somebody, I'm going to have this huge dopamine rush.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely is to walk, once the day comes where we walk away from this, I'll be able to really see all the businesses in real life that are still thriving because of what we committed to for that period of time.
I love that. Do you guys have a mission statement or a vision, anything like that, as far as like company culture that you guys have developed? I know you guys are just getting started. Just curious.
Yeah, our company culture is READI. So it's R-E-D-I. And it's results, education, determination, integrity. This is kind of our internal piercing moments that we stand on. And we drive it home every single day. Like, are you READI? Like, are you READI? And I think it's just embedded into also our clientele, because this, we call all of our seminars Get Grant READI, but we spell it in our culture. And so it's important for people to understand, like, there's a lot of different factors that make up what you're going to get when you get the results. And you have to have these key things to you. And so that's kind of how we're building out our culture right now. But we're so relaxed. As much as grant writing is like really strict, our team is so chill. Like, we are not tripping at all.
I was a little nervous asking you that question, because I'm like, man, I'm putting her on the spot. And I would say most people aren't going to know how to answer that, or they haven't defined it. And you not only you memorized it, right? And you're living by that. So that's awesome. I'm glad I asked that. What do you do to stay proactive with your mental health? So next time COVID rolls around, you're a little bit better prepared to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I do, like, physically, I'm in the gym every day. I just ran a 5K recently, and I've been, awesome. This is my second one. And that physical health helps me with my mental health. Like, it helps me regulate, and I get to go in there and like punch the bag and go crazy, go ham. Like, that does something for me. And then I would say also, I have to travel a lot. Like, I have to just take time, and I'm a napper. I take naps. Like, I schedule naps in my day. I'm like, hey y'all, leave me alone. See you back in an hour. Because I just find like taking that time and space really does help you regulate your emotions and yourself and all of your nervous system. So those are a couple of things that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis right now.
I love that. Most people don't do naps. I've been a big napper until I bought Dirty Dough. And then I couldn't nap. I couldn't even sleep at night. But it's because you can't fall asleep. And I remember in wrestling, we would do like a cool down at the end, and I'd fall asleep every time. And my coach was like, oh, if you're able to fall asleep quickly, it's like a sign of a well-balanced mind, mental health, peace, whatever, right? Because you could turn it off and you're controlling it. And then looking when I stopped taking naps, I was like, yeah, that was definitely true. I can't take naps because of the stress. Is that true? Are you able to take naps because you're able to control that state?
Yeah. And I get it from my mom. My mom used to be at football games on the fence like this, and you would just look over and she'd be gone. And I'm like, superpower. This is a passed down skill. Yeah.
That's a superpower. Yeah. Cause it's like, I am over here and I'm like, what are we going to have for dinner? What are we doing tomorrow? What, how many leads did we get last week?
No, for real.
Stormy, it was great having you on the show. I appreciate everything that you've shared. What's the best way that listeners can connect with you?
Definitely. I'm across all socials at Stormy Banks, and that's Stormy with an I. And then also, if you ever are looking to get some grant help, just reach out via our website, www.pinkprintfirm.com.
I would double recommend that, triple recommend it, because again, I feel like a grant saved my butt. So thank you again, Stormy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.